The American people are absolutely committed to restoring balance to our relationship with China.
A stern message from President Trump at the United Nations. It's Wednesday, September 25th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Australia's collapsing coal, mild election interest in Afghanistan, developing business in Asia, internet addiction, and scrap house art. It's all on today's VOA Asia. President Donald Trump had messages for U.S. political and economic adversaries Tuesday. Speaking at the United Nations General Assembly annual debate, Trump said that while the United States does not seek conflict with any other nation, he will not hesitate to defend America's interests. VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashir has more.
President Donald Trump said the United States desires peace, cooperation, and mutual gain with all countries, but he would always defend America's interests.
The United States, after having spent over $2.5 trillion since my election to completely rebuild our great military, is also by far the world's most powerful nation. Hopefully, it will never have to use this power.
Trump singled out the regime in Iran as one of the greatest global threats, saying it oppresses its citizens at home while fueling conflicts and terrorism beyond its borders. But he left the door open to diplomacy, noting that some of America's past enemies are now its closest friends. Still hope for an encounter between the U.S. and Iranian presidents on the sidelines of the U.N. meetings has all but evaporated after the September 14th attacks on two Saudi oil installations. The U.S. has blamed Iran, but Iran denies involvement. With the 2020 presidential election campaign in full swing, Trump addressed two issues very dear to his voting base: trade with China and the flow of migrants from Central America into the southern United States.
The American people are absolutely committed to restoring balance to our relationship with China. Hopefully, we can reach an agreement that would be beneficial for both countries. But as I have made very clear, I will not accept a bad deal for the American people.
And he had a direct message for undocumented migrants.
To anyone conducting crossings of our border illegally, please hear these words. Do not pay the smugglers. Do not pay the coyotes. Do not put yourself in danger. Do not put your children in danger. Because if you make it here, you will not be allowed in. You will be promptly returned home.
President Trump said every country has the absolute right to protect its borders, including the United States. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. U.S. and Japan trade deal hits snag as Tokyo seeks assurances on car tariffs. Australia Prime Minister joins Trump in calling for China to drop developing economy status. New Zealand Prime Minister Ardern and Trump discuss gun control in first formal meeting. Japan not inviting South Korea to naval review amid dispute. Rights groups urge Thai government to curb powers in new Cybersecurity Act. VOA Asia Facebook is the place to go for expanded coverage for these stories and much more. Also stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. A corporate collapse waiting to happen. That is the grim assessment of a new coal mine in Australia that has become a battleground for conservationists and the center-right government over climate change. The Indian mining giant Adani plans to export coal from its Carmichael mine in Queensland to Asia. But a forensic accounting expert believes the project is in fragile financial state. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Stop mining coal, double key, Larry.
Use your voice
to stop Adani.
Make the choice
to stop Adani.
Years of protest have failed to stop Australia's most controversial coal mine. It was approved by the Queensland state government in June. Owned by the Indian energy giant Adani, the project in Queensland's Galilee Basin has been a flashpoint for pro- and anti-coal campaigners. Professor Sandra van der Laan is a forensic accounting specialist at the University of Sydney. She told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that the project isn't viable.
Adani Mining is in a very fragile, even perilous financial position with significant amounts of debt. It looks to me like a corporate collapse waiting to happen.
Adani's Australian arm has said the comments about its financial position were false and misleading. It said its accounts are annually audited and tested for matters such as insolvency. It added that the project won't make money until the mine is built and its coal exported. Adani Australia Chief Executive Lucas Dow says the facility's environmental impact has also been assessed by various government agencies.
Obviously, this has been a rigorous process that's transpired over the last couple of years. It's obviously been subject to rigorous scientific evaluation, including the CSIRO and Geoscience Australia. We're now looking forward to getting going. This is obviously also a great day for not only our project, but more broadly for regional Queensland, and in particular, north and central Queensland. So we're now focused on getting on with the job.
No other recent mining venture here in Australia has been so divisive. The Adani mine has stirred passions on both sides of the argument.
Without coal, this country would start to fall into economic basket case sort of category.
It's just going to do way too much damage to the environment, and the things I've been reading suggest that it isn't going to create anywhere near as many jobs as we're being told. So it doesn't seem like a win at all, particularly when everyone's saying that coal is a dying energy source.
But Australia remains heavily reliant on cheap and plentiful supplies of coal. It earns billions of dollars in export revenue and helps to generate the lion's share of the nation's electricity. The coal from the new Adani mine will probably head to power stations in India. Initially, about 10 million tonnes a year will be extracted. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia news, China called on Washington to cancel a planned meeting at the United Nations to discuss accusations of repression and mass detentions in its Muslim northwestern region of Xinjiang. The foreign ministry accused the Trump administration of slandering China and interfering in its affairs. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. As Afghanistan's presidential election on September 28th approaches, one of the largest cities in the country, a one-time capital of the Taliban regime, shows little interest in the contest, the fourth since 2004. As VOA's Aisha Tanzim reports from Kandahar, apathy and a lack of faith in the process are among the reasons for the disinterest.
A lazy sunset in Kandahar reflects the mood. Residents of the city, one of the largest in Afghanistan, seem uninterested in the upcoming presidential election. With more than a dozen candidates in the running, posters, banners, or other visible signs of electioneering are scarce.
The VOA team has driven through most of the city, and out of 17 candidates running for president, this was the only billboard we could find.
Some of the apathy could be traced back to the now failed peace talks between the U.S. and Taliban. Earlier this month, President Donald Trump canceled the talks, blaming the Taliban for continuing violence that killed an American soldier.
People were optimistic about the peace process. Now that it is postponed and we have elections, but people are worried that even if they choose a new president, the war will continue.
Others say they have lost trust in a process that they say seems to always produce results that America wants.
In the last presidential elections, we knew that our vote was not respected. Our leaders are not independent.
Political activists say years of bad governance also creates voter distrust in the entire process.
In general, there are less billboards and rallies. We can say almost zero election activity in Kandahar. People are tired of lies and broken promises.
This atmosphere of general distrust in the process and complaints of bad governance, activists say, may lead to a low voter turnout on election day. Aisha Tanzeem, VOA News, Kandahar.
U.S. lawmakers at a recent congressional hearing pushed for answers on stalled peace talks with the Taliban following President Donald Trump's suspension of the negotiations earlier this month. The open hearing followed a closed-door session in which the top U.S. envoy to Afghanistan complied with a congressional demand by lawmakers for more information on the negotiations. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more on the questions being raised about the future of the U.S. role in Afghanistan.
A fresh wave of Taliban attacks, just days after President Trump declared U.S. negotiations dead. After 18 years of war, both sides now at a standstill.
What other alternative do we have when they occupy and own 50% of Afghanistan?
The Taliban are focused on securing the removal of U.S. and international forces from Afghanistan. They understand from 9 rounds of negotiations that that can only come about if they are committed to working to ensure that Afghanistan cannot be a platform for international terrorism.
U.S. envoy Khalil Azad led those negotiations that could have concluded with Trump meeting the Taliban at the presidential retreat in Camp David, a step that infuriated lawmakers from both parties.
I hope that never happens again. No terrorist should be allowed on the United States unless they're in chains, and especially a terrorist that attacked the U.S. on 9/11.
The president himself has spoken openly about his thought process on the Camp David invitation. I would just underscore, you know, it again shows that this is an administration that's willing to take risks to try to promote peace.
Washington is making another unexpected move. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announcing a $160 million cut in aid to Afghanistan, accusing the Afghan government of being an unreliable partner.
We wanted to be able to signal through the embassy posture and the aid restructuring that we are committed to the long-term development of Afghanistan, but not overcommitted to the point that we're assuming an unreasonable or even a counterproductive level of nation building.
Former Afghan President Hamid Karzai has called on the U.S. to resume peace talks, and U.S. lawmakers acknowledge that time for a military solution has ended.
Here's the reality after 18 years of war. The Taliban still exists. We need, unfortunately, to deal with that fact. And the adage remains true, you don't make peace with your friends. And believe it or not, there's some common ground. For starters, the Taliban wants our troops out of Afghanistan, and we want our troops home.
A key test of the Taliban's commitment to the process, shunning violence in the Afghan presidential election set for September 28th. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
Coming up, e-tags for Asian commerce. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. A U.S.-Japan trade deal hit a last-minute snag as Japanese officials sought assurances that the Trump administration will not oppose national security tariffs on Japanese-built cars and auto parts. Japan still hopes to sign the U.S. trade deal by the end of this month. Visit VOA Asia Facebook for updates and much more. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, palm oil problems and a new electronic tagging system are the topics on today's VOA Asia Business Scene with Skylar Ogden.
The Malaysian Palm Oil Board is undergoing an initiative to breed small dwarf trees in response to problems in the palm oil industry. Prices for palm oil have fallen recently because of sluggish demand from some importers, and the industry's image has been damaged by environmental groups who say the rapid expansion of plantations has damaged the jungles as well as tribespeople's lands. The Malaysian government hopes the dwarf tree program will cut costs and limit environmental damage. The trees are 30% smaller and produce twice the amount of palm oil per hectare as the current trees do. But many challenges remain. The dwarf trees went on sale in 2017 and were slow to sell. At about $7 each, the seedlings are around twice the price of conventional varieties, and many small farmers cannot afford them. The European Parliament also recently banned the use of palm oil in biofuels, classifying them as unsustainable. Despite the many environmental and economic challenges, the breeding program continues, and dwarf palm oil trees have been planted in several areas in Malaysia. Convenience stores in Japan have started to use electronic tags to manage their food supply. Until now, employees have had to check the shelf life of their products 3 to 4 times a day, usually requiring staff to check products one by one. The electronic tags enable store employees to see the stock size and the trading volume via wireless scanning, making it more convenient for the store to adjust the purchase quantity and thereby reduce the waste of goods. The electronic tag system sharply reduces the number of workers needed at cash registers and for inventory management.
It shortens the employees' amount of time spent doing register work in the store on a daily basis and helps the shop assistants work more efficiently.
Electronic tagging has not been mainstreamed yet because of its high price, but stores are hoping that with the development of the technology and mass production, these costs will be reduced. According to the Consumer Affairs Agency of Japan, the country throws away nearly 28 million tons of food waste every year, nearly 30% of which is thrown away near its expiration date. For VOA's Business Scene, I'm Skylar Ogden.
This news break from VOA Asia. Japan says it is not inviting South Korea to a multinational naval review it is hosting next month because their ties are badly strained over history, trade, and defense. Tensions between the Asian neighbors have escalated since July when Japan tightened controls on exports to South Korea. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, smartphones have quickly evolved from being a way to make an untethered phone to serve as a portable handheld personal computer. This mostly positive evolution has created conditions like internet addiction disorder. And to help people overcome a disorder like this and others, special rehab centers are opening around the world. Iri Mamon visited one such center in Seattle.
As smartphones get smarter, people put them down less and less, and that can be a problem. A 2014 University of Hong Kong study estimated about 6% of the world's population, over 400 million people, are actually addicted to their devices. But there are places helping people who just can't unplug, like this one on a secluded farm outside Seattle. This is a detox farm for people addicted to their iPhones, gaming, and the internet. Patients are fully disconnected from the outside world for a month. No internet and no cell phones. 19-year-old Thomas has been here for almost a month. His issue is gaming.
I play a lot of shooters, but I also actually played for my colleges, one of my college's esports teams, so.
When he started feeling depressed, his parents took him to this program called Restart. It's not cheap and costs over $500 a day, but for many, it's worth it.
I used to make video games.
Life here is strict, bedtimes are enforced, and patients have jobs on the farm. They work out, clean, and cook. Then patients come to Seattle, where they relearn how to live a balanced life and regain lost communication skills.
A lot of people go online because they have friends there, and they feel like they get their social needs met online, in those online communities.
Restart has 10 themed rooms where patients can't tune out, lounge, paint, or play with Legos. Mobile internet use is strictly forbidden. Patients can use phones only to make calls and text. There are laptops in the center, but their use is limited to 2 hours a day. 2 years ago, Alex spent at least 10 hours a day in front of his computer.
Video games are the devil. They're absolutely the devil. Don't play them. More of a joke for me, but regulation. Taking a look at how much tech use you have in your life.
Alex finished the 2-year-long rehabilitation course. Since then, he hasn't played any video games and only uses his cell phone when absolutely necessary. Restart was founded in 2009 and has helped over 400 people overcome internet addiction. Yet Chief Clinical Director Hilary Cash says the problem is growing.
Technology, by design, is actually very addictive. The people who build the apps and make the video games are quite purposeful.
But no matter how compelling the internet can be, places like Restart are teaching the value of being a part of the real world. For Judy Mamon in Seattle, Washington, NRI's VOA News.
One person's trash is another person's treasure, is Clark Bedford's philosophy. The former museum conservator spent his first career overseeing art, but then decided to make his own. Maxime Moskalkov traveled to Hyattsville to meet with the artist.
Oh my gosh, they're beautiful! I'm going to pull up and look at the other one too. I might get out and take pictures, is that okay?
Artist Clark Bedford is used to passers-by stopping to stare. His day is full of tourists and locals who stop by his house in Hyattsville, Maryland, to admire his unusual art. Today, the mayor of a nearby city, Mount Rainier, stopped by to personally thank the artist for his work and the inspiration.
This is amazing! And somebody just takes time and put all this together like this.
That man right there.
Him?
Yeah.
Are you the artist? Oh, the old woman is impressed.
Clark Bedford used to work as a conservator at the Hirshhorn Museum in Washington, D.C. And though he is now retired, he never gave up art. Only now he's creating it himself, literally from scraps. Bedford looks for his materials at scrap yards and junk heaps, antique stores and consignment shops.
Find something you like. And it's usually because of the shapes and the age. And eventually that thing will be something. It's like the object tells you what to do with it.
Bedford got interested in creating art installations from scraps after he retired. Today it's hard to believe his yard used to be empty.
There's a fire hydrant out front, and it's just a white fence and a fire hydrant. It was inside, started coming outside, and then I started making things for outside.
Even Bedford himself doesn't know how many art installations he has created in the last 12 years. But one thing is for certain, his art can't be contained solely within the house and yard. A special part of Bedford's collection is dedicated to 4 cars and 2 buses that are parked nearby.
Cars can't go into the back. There's no access. So they're on the street, which means they all are legal. They all can be driven. They're all licensed. They're all insured. It's incredibly expensive to keep them on the road, but that's how it is.
A 4-wheeled masterpiece called Vanadu occupies a special place in Bedford's collection. He spent 5 years working on it.
This used to be a lamp. It has a bunch of these statues. This is Middle Eastern. A lamp. This is a bird cage holder.
When Bedford drives Vanadu around town, he's used to passers-by grabbing their cameras. But Bedford doesn't mind. As long as there is space in the street or at home, he'll keep making art. Maxim Moskalkov, VOA News, Hyattsville, Maryland.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us online at iTunes and SoundCloud, of course, VOA Asia Facebook, and our website, voanews.com. And you'll find us on the radio on many great stations around Asia, like the voice of Chung Rung, Star Radio FM 88.3 at Chung Rung Christian University in Tainan, Taiwan. We say hello to everyone there. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We also thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Cedric Franklin, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, Kelly Jean Kelly. And we thank Michelle Liu for making her penultimate post of streaming our show on Facebook today. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-